Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Holy Man, a journey of becoming godly men. No matter if we are sons or husbands, dads, grandfathers, or just any regular guy out there, we are going to try to figure out how God would want us to live on this journey called life. None of us have it all figured out. So let's dig into God's Word and wrestle with God's Word as we try to become who God created us to be, specifically, holy men. And there's many places in Scripture where God, well, even in the New Testament, we find Jesus helping us to have this understanding, be holy as God is holy. It's what God calls us to. He wants us to be more holy or like God because he knows that that will make our lives better and make us better at life. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we become more and more holy? And so we as men are going to wrestle and struggle with this a little bit as we have great conversations and try to figure out, what does this look like for us as we try to become more and more holy? Well, the first 8 weeks of this journey, we're going to dig into an issue or something that we men struggle with. Now, this is based on my experience of my own life, my experience of being a pastor and counselor of men throughout my journey, and then also leading a men's life group for the last many years. As I've walked with men, I've realized we have something that we all struggle with. We all like being in control. Don't you? You like to be in control of yourself. You like to be controlling of your surroundings, the people around you. You love it if you can be in control. But one of the things that I found out is I can't always be in control. But so when I am not in control of something, then as a man, I like to fix things quickly to get that control back. We like to be in control of things, or at least think we are in control of things. Well, I want us to look at, for these first 8 weeks, I want us to look at this understanding of control versus influence. Is one better than the other? Or is one something that's attainable and the other one maybe we might struggle with a little bit? You know, one of the things as a parent that Karen and I have tried to work with our kids on and teach them a little bit is this understanding that you can't control others. And isn't that true? You can't control others, whether you want to or not. They're always going to be able to make their own choices. So we tell our kids to help them understand in relationships, you can't control others. Other people are going to do things that are not going to be in your control. But we have a second part of that phrase that we like to teach them. You can't control others. You can only control yourself. You're accountable to yourself. You're responsible for yourself. And so you need to be in control of yourself. Now, here's the question I have for us men. If, as we talked about before, if control is something that we like, is the second part of that phrase true? The part that says you can only control yourself. Can you? Are you able to control yourself? Are you having yourself under control at all times? And I wonder this because, you know, one of the great passages that the Apostle Paul, a great holy man himself, he shared at one point in Romans, we're going to be looking in chapter 7 a little bit, where he lets us understand with because of our sinful nature, let's face it, guys, we don't always have control of ourselves. We just, a lot of times, we'll do things that we didn't really think we should have, but we did anyways. Paul says it this way, starting in verse 14. He says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. So Paul shares that, yes, he does what's wrong. He can't control himself sometimes. And then he continues, he says, and I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Paul shares the understanding, you know, not only can I not control others, I can't even control myself. And guys, I think we all can agree, we have that situation. We know better. We know things that we should be doing or things that we shouldn't be doing, but sometimes we just get it wrong. It's that sin that, just like Adam and Eve, it's that sinful nature, that temptation that gets thrown in front of us, and boy, we fall. We get it wrong. Is there any hope then? If we can't even control ourselves when we know better, is there any hope for us? Well, the good news is Paul doesn't leave us hanging. He lets us know there is hope. So what's the hope? We're going to jump down to two of my favorite verses in all the Bible because it's hope-filled. It just jumps into chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says this. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Holy Spirit has freed you from the power of the sin that leads to death. Do you hear the hope in that? We can't control ourselves, but if we surrender to Christ, give our lives to Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit of God to begin to lead us and guide us, then there's hope of getting things under control. Now, the good news is it's not us now controlling it anymore, but instead it's God. The power of God's Holy Spirit changing us and making us more and more holy. If you were in church the last several weeks here at New Life, then you might have heard Pastor Mike in his sermon series, two different times at two different sermons, he mentioned something that Paul talks about in another book. It's in Galatians. And it's in chapter 5 where he's talking about what the Holy Spirit does in us and what the Holy Spirit, if we continue to surrender and give up control to the Holy Spirit, and then what the Holy Spirit begins to produce in us. It's those attributes or character traits that in chapter 5 of Galatians, it talks about these things called the fruit of the Spirit. And some of these attributes look like love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And then the last one that's mentioned in that section, it's called self-control. Yeah, that's right. I said that, self-control. The last one is interesting here because we just said we can't control ourselves. Paul, you said that. But here now he's saying there is a potential for self-control, but it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit of God keeping us in control as we surrender those parts of our lives to Christ. So if we can't control others, and truthfully, we can't even control ourselves, how can our Christian walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit help us? Here's this other word now that I want to get us into here. How can our Christian walk with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit help us to influence the lives around us? If we can't control others, we can't control even ourselves, then how can our Christian walk, the power of the Holy Spirit, how can that bring influence into our lives and the lives around us? Well, what we're going to do again over these next 8 weeks is we're going to practically look into some of the areas that us guys would love to have under control. We can't. And so therefore, how can we bring some influence into those moments, those different things that we struggle with control in our lives? And how can we allow the Holy Spirit as we surrender those things into God's help and helping us make things better? All right, so what's the one for today? Here's where we're going to get practical a little bit. We're going to be talking about one that I know all of us guys, based on all my conversations, we all struggle with this, and that is driving. I don't know if I can... Yeah. Guys, we can't control others. Do you know that? When it comes to driving, boy, wouldn't it be great if we could control everybody around us with their driving? We can't control others and how they drive, but we can influence our own driving experience and the experience of those around us. So there's a difference. We can't control, but can we influence our driving experience and those around us? Let's think about this a little bit. Think about one of those moments when there was an idiot on the road near you. You know that person I'm talking about? Some of you are thinking of that moment. Maybe you just even had one just recently. Some of you might be driving in the car listening to this podcast, and you might have just had one of those moments here just in the last couple minutes. Can you feel your blood begin to boil a little bit as you consider that idiot and how they were driving and how they were uncontrollable and how you wished you could have controlled their situation because it affected your experience? For some of you, you have these moments regularly because of how much you drive around town or on the road distance-wise with your job. I think we've all had those moments. And truthfully, we all have certain pet peeves about others driving, don't you? I know for me, mine is that when people don't use their turning signals appropriately, man, that just really frustrates me. The other day I was pulling out of the Maverick right across from the New Life Church here, and I was trying to just simply pull out, make a simple left so I could go up to the church. And it would have been easy if people would have been using their turning signals, but people that were coming from my left, three guys in a row, all could have either gone straight by me or they could have been turning into the Maverick. All three of them ended up turning into the Maverick, but not one of them let me know that they were doing that by simply turning on their stinking turning signal. So I thought they were going straight. And so I waited for them. In the meantime, guess what happened? The traffic coming from my right that wasn't there at the moment caught up, and then I had to wait for the traffic on my right now also. I was so stinking frustrated. We've all had those moments. We all have those pet peeves, those things that other people do that just really frustrate it. Wouldn't it be great if we could control everyone else driving around us on the roads? But we can't control others and how they drive. But as we just talked a moment ago, can we influence them? And truthfully, do we always even have ourselves under complete control in a perfectly righteous way in our driving when we are driving? Are you always driving perfectly within the law and within the safe driving ways that God would want us to? I remember back when I was a pastor in the first church that I was in, I preached a sermon one time and I shared an illustration of how we could live a godly life in driving, and I shared about the Clarks Valley Road, and wow, did I stir things up. People were not happy with me. The Clarks Valley Road is a 25-mile stretch from the small town where we lived at the time down towards the bigger city of Harrisburg, where many people from Tower City worked. So people drove to work every single day, and then they drove home, and they drove fast on that road. It was a long road with trees on both sides the whole distance down along there. The speed limit was about 55 miles an hour almost the whole trip, but people regularly drove about 70, 80, some even 90 miles an hour on that road. And there were regularly, every week, there was at least one bad accident, and there were several deaths every year on that road because of driving. I shared a what if. What if we all drove within the law? How might that change the number of accidents? Could it save lives even? And truthfully, as I shared with them, driving fast or above the speed limit only ended up saving them because of the 25-mile distance. It really wasn't that far. It only saved them 5 to 10 minutes tops by driving that extra speed. Leave a few minutes sooner, I suggested, and be safer. They didn't like that idea at all. They liked to say in response to those driving slower, they were the ones that were actually causing the problem. Driving slower, they said, was causing the problem. So that means that's crazy, isn't it? Is there a scripture that speaks to this issue of driving within the law or being safe with our driving? And yeah, there really is. I know you might be surprised, but yeah, it's simply, Peter speaks to it. There's other scriptures too, but let me just share what the great disciple or apostle Peter shares. It's in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, starting in verse 13, where he writes this: "For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of the state or the officials that he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. What do you think? Is he speaking about driving? I mean, they didn't have cars back then, so of course he wasn't speaking literally to driving, but is he speaking to maybe the laws of the land, which driving would be part of that? He continues, it says, it is God's will that you, that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and respect the king, Peter writes. So Peter says, respect and submit to government authority. So kinda, he's saying, drive within the law. It's there. It can be a fun discussion for you. I'm looking forward to hear what some of your life group discussions are as you consider, is it godly? Are we being more holy if we are within the law? If the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us, well, one of those attributes that we talked about in Galatians, one of those fruit of the Spirit was goodness, doing good, acting good. Well, here's a question for you that you're going to need to be discussing or pondering. Is Peter talking about our driving? When we are driving outside the bounds of the law, are we sinning? I know that God doesn't say anywhere about our driving because, again, they didn't have cars back when the Bible was written. Are we hurting our witness as a Christian if we're driving outside the law? Those are fun conversations, and I invite you to think about them a little again. And again, part of the problem is that we can't always control ourselves. Even if we know better doesn't mean that we always follow through and drive within the law. I was just talking to one of our other men's life group leaders, Troy, the other day, and he was sharing how, yeah, he understands this topic. You know, he gets frustrated with others when how they drive too, but just a few days ago, he had one of those moments where he was the one that was kind of acting like the idiot. He was the one that pulled out in front of someone else, and he saw the face of that person and how he actually caused them great fear because he almost ran into them. And he was the idiot in the moment because he saw the fear and then he saw their frustration. And then he realized, boy, that's how he gets upset when others do that to him. So Troy was wondering, how should we respond and react if we are being godly in those moments when we have idiots around us on the road? Okay, we can't control others. And like Paul said, due to our sinful nature, we can't even perfectly control ourselves. So with our driving, if we're not going to be perfectly within the law, controlling ourselves, well, let's think about, again, that fruit of the Spirit. If we proactively ask the Holy Spirit to guide our driving, if we surrender our driving to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to lead us, what does it look like? What does goodness look like behind the wheel? Good driving, godly, holy driving. If we pray over our driving and ask God to control our urges, our focus, what can it look like? And what does that driving share with those around us? Let's talk another part here. Let's talk about the idiots out there that we can't control. When they drive like they do, how would Jesus react or respond if Jesus was in our driver's seat? If we proactively give those moments to the Holy Spirit and ask the Spirit to take control in those moments, how different would you look? If peace and patience are fruit of the Spirit, if those are produced in those moments, how would it change that moment? How might it change the rest of your day or your trip if you were focused on the Holy Spirit keeping you in peaceful mindset or being patient with that idiot? What about your witness to those around you, including the idiot, and how might it change their day? If we open our window and yell at them, wave at them with the middle finger, drive a little crazy to catch up to them, if we react in an ungodly way, what does it do to them? Now we have them worked up. Now they are driving from that bad mindset as well. Now they are fired up and they're going into the rest of their day, maybe frustrated, maybe ticked off, maybe anxious, who knows? But we might cause them to now drive in a worse way than what they were before because of how we reacted to them. Have you thought about that? You know, how we react and respond to those other people will let people know whether we're letting the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us in those moments, who's under control of us and who's not under control of us. Again, we can't control them. We can't control ourselves. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, how might that influence our driving, our witness in those moments, and therefore, how might it influence the rest of our day, giving us a better day, and influence those people around us who watched us and how we reacted in those moments? Well, there's some food for thought for you. As we, as men, try to figure out in this life, how do we become more and more holy? How do we become a holy man? A person who is becoming who God created them to be. We're going to be talking about some of those things that we like to have control over these next several weeks. So I invite you back to join me again, and let's continue on this journey of becoming holy men.